It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are continuing with our series called Faith Set Free today. We have been in this, this is the second week of this series. And so if you weren't here last week, we'll have a quick little recap, but we started in the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is not just this list of attributes to memorize or bullet points to fit into a spreadsheet, but it tells the story of the birth of Christianity and then the very beginning of the spreading of the gospel of Jesus. And so when you're going through the book of Acts, there's one specific word that kind of brings it all together at the end, and that word is unhindered. And so that's what we talked about last week. And out of that, we looked at three ways that we are set free in our faith. The first one is that we were unhindered no matter the circumstance. So we looked at Paul, who was writing letters to area churches, and he was imprisoned some, and he was on house arrest some, and he was writing to these churches, and you don't get the impression that he's hindered at all. So while he is on house arrest, he would allow anyone to come visit him, and then he would use that opportunity to minister to those people. And he didn't really associate the fact that he was physically hindered with his faith being hindered. And so his faith was free to roam around the world, even though his body couldn't. And the same is true for us. Our faith doesn't have to be hindered, even if our body is. The second thing that we looked at last week was that we are a part of the kingdom of God. The Son has set us free, and we are free indeed. There's no need to sacrifice animals anymore or go to the temple to be cleansed. Jesus has come and not only freed us from sin and death, but he is now our direct avenue to God the Father. So we are set free to be a part of the kingdom of God. And then the third thing that we talked about last week was that we receive the lavish love of God. Through Jesus, God has given us his love in extravagant amounts, right? That's what lavish means. And we're free to not only receive that love, but pour that same love out into the lives of others. So that's where we left off last week. Today, we're going to talk about being free to forgive. Free to forgive. Forgiveness, right, is obviously one of the best things ever invented, right, for our sake. I don't know about you guys, but I mess up a lot. Anybody else? Yeah. Isn't that cool? Forgiveness? That's a good thing that we live under. If God was not a God of forgiveness, we would be in big trouble. Can you think of a time that someone has shown you forgiveness, even though you were definitely wrong? Like, not just like, oh, I messed up, or this was an accident, but like a time that you were really actually wrong and someone showed you forgiveness anyway. Maybe you got caught speeding and the officer let you off with a warning. Or maybe you were really late on a payment and the lending company waived the late fee anyway. Or maybe you were behind on a project at work and your boss extended the deadline, no questions asked. There really isn't a better feeling than grace and forgiveness being shown. Now, can you think of a time where you might have shown forgiveness like that? There's some really cool examples in real life, like amidst some of these most difficult situations that people go through, and they're still showing forgiveness. Listen to this story from an article I found this week. After a long shift at the fire department, Matt Swatzel fell asleep while driving and crashed into another vehicle, taking the life of a pregnant mother, June Fitzgerald, and injuring her 19-month-old daughter. Fitzgerald's husband was a full-time pastor, and he asked for the man's sentence to be diminished, and he began meeting with Swatzel for coffee and conversation. Many years later, the two men remained close. Fitzgerald was quoted saying, "You forgive as you've been forgiven." That's tough, right? That's a tough thing to do. But people do it through the power of Jesus. Forgiveness is a powerful force in our lives. It's something that all of us need, and thankfully, through Jesus, we all have access to. Aren't you glad that when we mess up, Jesus isn't there saying, no more, right? You're out. He's saying, no, it's okay. Come back to me, right? I was reading the story of Radshak, Meshach, and Abednego this morning in my devotions, and there's very little mercy or forgiveness shown by Nebuchadnezzar in that story. Basically, he's like, you don't want to worship me? Into the fire you go. Right? That's a pretty rough reality. Aren't you glad that's not the temperament and the character of God? Not only is our God merciful and quick to forgive, he was willing to save them from the fire as well. Humans, though, sometimes struggle with forgiveness, but we serve a God who is willing and ready to forgive. So, what's the big deal about forgiveness? We're going to talk about that today. To a Christian, forgiveness is rooted in the belief that all people are sinners and all people are in need of forgiveness from God. So we believe that forgiveness comes from God, who extends mercy and grace to all who repent and seek forgiveness. So forgiveness of sin used to come through the sacrificial system, as the Old Testament describes it. But Jesus changed everything, and now through his one-time single sacrifice on the cross and the power of his resurrection, forgiveness is available to all who confess and believe. It's the single act of love that opened the door for everyone. And so our scripture for today is found in Luke, and it's from the crucifixion of Jesus. But this passage, or this portion of this passage, focuses on these two criminals that are being executed with Jesus. So in Luke chapter 23, verses 32 through 43, it says this. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others, let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which reads, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly for we are getting our deeds deserved. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. So we're going to look at three truths today about forgiveness. Three truths about forgiveness. The first one is that forgiveness is for everyone. Forgiveness is available to everyone. So this system of forgiveness, it used to be a complicated one. It was centered around the concept of repentance and atonement. And it involved this complex system of sacrifices and rituals that were intended to restore a person's relationship with God and also with their community if they had sinned or committed a crime. So if you had made it through the book of Leviticus before, you know just how complex this system was. If not, maybe read a couple chapters. It's exhausting. It really is. I'm so thankful that we don't live under this system anymore. So repentance was this first step toward reconciliation, and then atonement, which involved making amends for the wrongdoing. This was done through the offering of sacrifices, which were a way of symbolically transferring the guilt of a person or the individual that sinned to the animal being sacrificed. The blood of the animal was seen as a way of cleansing the individual from their sin and restoring their relationship with God. And this was all done through rituals, right? There were things that had to be done. There were rituals. There were priests, sacrifices, not just animals or a meat sacrifice, but there were burnt offerings. And then there was prayer and fasting, and the list goes on and on. All that to say, this was a thorough process. This required copious amounts of time and energy for everyone involved. I'm thankful that I'm a pastor today. And not, because pastors were pastors then, but they were also like butchers, and it was really gross. I mean, it was really gross. I'm so glad that I'm not involved in that. So not to mention, this process was only available to the Israelites. Right? So this process was complex and it was very involved, but it was only available to the Jews, to the Israelites, or other people who were adopted by God into the faith. So not only was it complicated, it was also constricted. So only those who were chosen could be forgiven. And that's what makes Jesus, this chosen Messiah, all the more significant, is through his single sacrifice on the cross, forgiveness is now available to anyone who will confess and believe. Not just Jewish people, but anyone who will confess and believe. So now, forgiveness is not constrained to this complicated system of priests and temples and killing animals. It's also not just reserved for the Jewish people. Jesus took care of forgiveness once and for all people. And so this story highlights for us the power of believing in Jesus. It shows us that the freedom that we have through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, even if it's at the last minute and the final hour or at the very end, just like our thief on the cross in the story. We have no idea if this criminal was Jewish or not. He was, we have no idea if he had even heard of Jesus or not. All we know is that he admittedly, right, he deserved to die. He said, we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. And then Jesus lets him know that grace and forgiveness was going to be enough to cover this criminal as well. All he did was confess that he was wrong, that Jesus was right, and then believe that Jesus was Lord. And that takes us to our second truth about forgiveness this morning, that all we have to do is confess and believe. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Confess and believe. That's it. Or said another way, confess our sin and our need for a Savior and then believe that Jesus is that Savior, that he is that Messiah that he claimed to be. This is a pretty straightforward path to forgiveness. And in a similarly straightforward way, Jesus asked us to share this gospel truth with others. And I think the hardest part of this, right, the hardest part of this, these two actions here is the confession part. Anybody else with me? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, the rest of you are really good then. Way to go. If you don't struggle with that, you're better than I am. Oh, the hardest part is confessing. We don't like to confess. And have you ever tried to get a kid to admit to doing something wrong? It's pretty tough, right? Instinctively, we don't like to confess. I feel like every episode of America's Funniest Home Videos features a house that's covered in either chocolate or feathers or peanut butter or flour or whatever the kid got into. And inevitably, this camera pans around and finally finds a kid who's covered in peanut butter or chocolate or flour or whatever the house is covered in, and the kid is adamantly denying that they did anything wrong, right? Even though they're wearing the evidence. Confessing is such an important part of forgiveness because it's all it is us admitting that we are in need of forgiveness. Or to spin it the other way, if we don't confess, we're fooling ourselves into thinking that we're not in need of forgiveness. So when we confess that Jesus is Lord, as Romans 10:9 suggests, we are actually confessing that we are not Lord. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's an important part. Now the second part of this verse says that not only do we need to confess, but we also need to believe in our heart. So if we believe something is true in our heart, right? Anything. Right? If we believe something to be true in our heart at our deepest core, then that's going to change, right? That's going to change the way we act and speak and think. And the same is true about believing in our heart that Jesus is risen. This will not only lead to confession that Jesus is Lord, but it'll lead to repentance of anything in our lives that would suggest that Jesus is not Lord, right? So if we believe that Jesus is in our heart, or that we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, then it's going to lead to repentance of anything that would suggest that he's not. So confessing that Jesus is Lord and believing that he is risen brings about salvation and forgiveness, but it also brings about change. All right, the third truth this morning is that we are forgiven to forgive. We are forgiven to forgive. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15 says this. I might have put it on your screen. It says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." So, forgiveness is not just about us being forgiven by God, but it's also about extending forgiveness to others. It's about sharing the amazing news of Jesus with other people. And so we believe that forgiving others is not only this act of obedience to God, but also a way to experience healing and freedom from the burden of anger and resentment. We're called to forgive as we have been forgiven, and to extend mercy and grace to others just as God has extended it to us. Sometimes it is difficult to forgive. Amen? Have you ever held on to a grudge for a really long time, like an embarrassingly long time? Like you're still mad at the childhood friend that destroyed your bike? Or maybe you're mad at the kid who stole your toy or your lunch money? Maybe you held something against someone that may have hurt you and they didn't even realize it. Isn't that silly? Someone who just inadvertently hurt you, they're going about their life unbothered, even though you're the one that got hurt. That's what makes forgiving others so important. It's not always easy to forgive, but when we stop for a minute to consider how much we have been forgiven and how much we are loved by God, it's hard to hold that love and forgiveness back from others. Now, it's also worth noting that Jesus warns us about withholding forgiveness from others in this verse that we just read. You could say he warns us about putting up obstacles and hindrances so that others have to overcome to be forgiven. It's honestly kind of hypocritical when we have been given all this freedom and forgiveness, but then we withhold the same freedom and forgiveness from someone else. And you can see why this would be such a problem. But it's not just a little problem. Unforgiveness is, in our lives, can have a multitude of consequences. I've got five written down. The first one is negative emotions. Unforgiveness can often lead to negative emotions such as anger, resentment, bitterness, and hatred. These emotions can consume a person and affect their daily lives, leading to more stress and more anxiety. The second one is health problems. Holding on to unforgiveness can have physical effects on the body, including increased blood pressure, heart disease, weakened immune systems, and it can also lead to mental health problems such as depression. The third thing is damaged relationships, right? Unforgiveness, not forgiving someone, can damage relationships as it creates a barrier between people. It makes it difficult for them to connect emotionally. It can also lead to the breakdown of relationship and cause feelings of isolation and loneliness. The fourth one is it can lead us to being stuck in the past. Holding on to unforgiveness can prevent individuals from moving on from past hurts and experiences, keeping them stuck in a negative mindset and preventing personal growth. And then the fifth one is spiritual blockages. For some individuals, unforgiveness can lead to spiritual blockages, preventing them from experiencing a deeper sense of connection with their faith and with their spirituality. So, as you can see, Jesus isn't only concerned with our spiritual well-being, but our overall well-being. We're called to follow in the steps of Jesus, who even forgave his accusers and his executioners, right, as he was hanging on the cross. He literally was forgiving the people who were killing him as they were killing him. Isn't that incredible? Usually, I got to wait a month, you know, if somebody wrongs me. That's just wrongs me. I've never been killed, right? Man. He's forgiving the people who were killing him as they were doing it. He says in verse 34, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And then their response was dividing up his clothes and casting lots for him. So you could say that Jesus didn't want these people, right, that he is praying for in this moment to have any hindrance in their ability to receive salvation. Even the ones that were killing him, he wanted them to be saved, to experience this grace and this salvation. He wanted them to be forgiven, and he recognized that they didn't even fully understand what they were doing. Kind of makes you wonder how many of us fall into a similar category. Maybe we sin or hurt others out of ignorance and never even realize it. Or we move too quickly through our lives and we miss opportunities to slow down and be present with people around us that we care about the most. We need a Savior who sees us as we truly are, in all our brokenness and also in all of our beauty, the good and the bad, and then who loves us all the same anyway. That is the picture of grace and forgiveness, and it's the picture of Jesus. So as we close today, forgiveness used to be this complicated thing to figure out. The right sacrifices on the right days, at the right time, made in the right way. That's how you would be made right with God. But this was the old way. And Jesus is this new way. In fact, he explicitly says this in John 14:6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So forgiveness is this straightforward doctrine with incredible implications. And in his book, Orthodoxy, G.K. Chesterton says, the essence of the whole Christian position is that we have all sinned and that forgiveness is possible. Forgiveness is possible. And that one small sentence alone, it might be amazingly good news for some of you here today. Some of you might need to be reminded that there isn't any hindrance to forgiveness here, right? We are free to be forgiven and we're free to forgive. And Jesus made sure of that on the cross when he took the whole weight of sin upon himself. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So just as forgiveness has been generously made available to us, we are to offer it equally generously to those around us. So consider today who may need forgiveness in your life. Or consider who you may need to ask for forgiveness. The point is, don't be stingy. Don't hold it back. We're called to forgive like Jesus did, who was forgiving the people who were killing him as they were killing him. Today, pray that God would open your eyes to any root of bitterness or discord that may set root in your heart, that might turn you bitter, that might harden you to things. Remove the hindrances and find the peace that God has waiting for you. It's on the other side of forgiveness, and it's available to all of us. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you for forgiveness. Literally the best thing ever. We thank you that we are able to just approach you, that you've given us an avenue to the Father. Sincerely thank you this morning that we are born on this end of that old covenant, that we don't have to go to a temple and go through all this stuff to be able to get to you and to be made right with you. We thank you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that we have access to that this morning. So God, as we prepare to leave this place and go on another week of life, we just ask that you would give us not just the forgiveness that we need from you, but give us the discernment, the wisdom, the courage to forgive others as you have forgiven us. Help us not to hold back this week. God, if we need forgiven, I pray that we would ask for it. And if we need to forgive someone, God, I pray that we would do it. We thank you for this freedom. We thank you for this power over bitterness and anger and rage and anything else that unforgiveness would hold in our hearts. So help us to accomplish these things this week. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. The worship team is going to sing this morning. Our altars here are always open. If you felt God speaking to you this morning and need to respond, this is a great place to do it. If you would stand with us and use these next few moments to just reflect on what God's been speaking to you this morning.